Today's reading comes from Psalm 96, verses 1 to 9. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declaring his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among the peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come into his court. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him all the earth.
Thank you, Annabelle. This morning we're looking at Psalm 96. It's one of those psalms that I know I've read it in the past, but I don't think I've ever actually spent a lot of time delving into it and looking at the detail behind it. There are certain phrases that we're familiar with, and they're reflected in many hymns and songs that we also love to sing, some of which were sung this morning. So in preparing for this morning, the choice I faced was, if I don't know much about this particular psalm, do I speak on it? Do I sort of play lip service to it and make a passing reference? Maybe preach on something else. Alternatively, I could always talk to you about rugby, how England performed last night, but we won't go there. You won't go there because partly because Scotland and Ireland and everyone else has not made it through to the finals. Or should I actually take some time and delve into the significance of this short psalm? What does it mean? And how does it affect me? I'll let you be the judge of that. And you can tell me later. It's much like the challenges that God gives to us every day of our lives. We have the option of either placing it into the too difficult category, with the associated justifications of such as I'm too busy, too much else to do. I'll get round to it, but not now. Or we can rise to the challenge and allow God to speak through his Spirit to us. Study his word. See where he wants to lead us. Not necessarily where we want to go. So this in turn poses a question, and I do like posing questions on a Sunday morning. A question for both you and me. How will we grow in spiritual maturity? When we face a challenge in our lives, do we resort to type and head for the door, following the least line of resistance, and return to the safety of our comfort zone? Now, I do apologize in advance about the cliches, but they seem quite appropriate there. God doesn't want people to be stuck in a rut. He wants us to face up to and rise to new challenges. He wants us to be the people he intended us to be. We all have the capacity to change. We just need to have the desire to allow God to shape and mold us through our daily living. We can all sing a new song. Psalm 96 is one of those five psalms that are known as enthronement psalms, meaning psalms that celebrate the reign of God as king over all creation. And in verses 1 to 9, they can be split into three sections. Verses 1 to 3 talks about worshipping God with a new song. Verses 4 through to 6, why God deserves praise. And 7 to 9 is calling the entire world to glorify God. God as Lord and as King is a prevalent theme in Christian worship. We offer prayers to God the King, hymns about God as King. We know so many of them, and typically all creatures of our God and King. or we'll worship the king. And I'm sure you can think of many more songs of worship where God is described as king. So what do we mean when we sing the words of songs and hymns to God, Lord, our Redeemer and King? When we talk about worship, it's in a sense an ever-moving feast. Songs and hymns evolve over time. New songs are forever being written and sung to the Lord. And the psalmist declares in verses 1 and 2 of this passage, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Many other psalms unite in similar words. In Psalm 98, which I read at the start of the service, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvellous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. In Psalm 144, David intones us, sing to him a new song, play skillfully and shout for joy. Again and again, there is a consistent theme where God's people are encouraged to praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. The praise in assembly of his faithful people. God is a creative God, one who delights in all things new. Now, new could mean something original, fresh, or one of a kind, or never seen before, or indeed never heard before. God is always doing something new. Think about your own life. Where have you seen God doing something new in the last week? Perhaps answers to prayer, intervening in your daily life. Many areas where God is doing a new thing. Isaiah 42, verses 9 and 10, it says, see the form of things that have taken place, in new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the ends of the earth. When we are born into the family of God, he makes us new creatures in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul said in Corinthians, the old is gone, the new is here. And in Ephesians 2 verse 10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God loves his newly created people to sing praises to him. He loves to receive the rejoicing and praises people in song. He has done amazing things. So it is right that we bring praise and thanksgiving to our King. Spontaneous and unrehearsed, singing to the Lord a new song can be the natural reaction of someone who is newly saved and being transformed by the Lord. The new song we sing doesn't have to be a newly composed worship number, the latest hit by some fashionable Christian songwriter. The new song is merely a fresh response of praise and thanks of his people, one that matches the freshness of God's goodness and mercy, mercies that are new every morning. It's a fresh awareness of God's love and grace. The new song springs forth, unrehearsed, from the heart of a worshipper who has been struck anew by the wonder and greatness of God and the salvation he has provided to you and me as individuals. When we see the hand of God working in a way that we have never observed before, we can't help but burst forth into song, a new song, one that we've never sung before. A new song has been heard from people of every generation. People who have tasted and seen the goodness, mercy, and salvation of the Lord for themselves. From days gone by and for all eternity, followers from every tribe, language, people, nation, sing unto the Lord a new song. At the end of the New Testament in Revelation chapter 14, verse 3, it makes reference that throughout the earth and before the throne of God in heaven, we can hear the redeemed singing a new song to the Lord. So this new song is the response to God's mercy, God's love, and God's goodness as we've experienced in our lives. When I first read this passage, I assumed that the phrase new song would tend to point literally to a new song. However, after looking into it in more detail, it could be that this new song does not mean a song sung to a tune that we've never heard before, but rather refers to the beginning of a new era, a new dawn in history. In the case of Psalm 96, the new song refers to the reign of God, a new era, rather than a king of the Davidic line, a sovereign over Israel and the whole earth. So perhaps some historical background might be helpful at this point. In ancient biblical times, people gained their protection, their livelihoods, prosperity, and justice by pledging allegiance to the king who ruled over a particular city or area. Becoming a subject of the ruler guaranteed safety and a way of life. However, if you travelled outside your town or city, you were at the mercy of a different ruler, a different king, one who might not look with favour upon you, especially as you came from another king's territory. Life was precarious for people in the Old Testament times, none more so than for the Israelites. To have a good ruler, a good king, was important for the health of a nation. When the Israelites left Egypt under the leadership of Moses and settled in the Promised Land, one of the first issues that surfaced was that of leadership. In the book of Judges, we read about the struggles of the newly settled Israelites to claim the land, and the book closes with the words, "In that day there was no king in Israel. Every one person did what was right in their own eyes." And in Samuel 1 Samuel 8, the people come to Samuel and demand, "Appoint for us a king to govern like other nations." Samuel in turn prayed to God, and God answered with these words, "Listen to the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them." Samuel appoints Saul and David, and we read in the book of Kings about the reigns of other kings of the Davidic dynasty. A rather mixed bag of good and bad. Solomon, Hezekiah, Manasseh, Josiah. When the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem and took the Hebrew people captives, such a protected and guaranteed life disappeared. Israel no longer had the king, their own protector. They were subjects of a foreign king. And even when they were allowed to return to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple under the leadership of Ezra and Nehemiah, they were still subjects of foreign rulers, Persians, Greeks, and then the Romans. Try to imagine the fear, the questions, the searching. Who would protect the Hebrew people, guarantee their livelihood and survival as individuals and as a people? And who would administer the justice? So in true, let's cover the Psalms in 30 seconds style, let me give you a potted history of Psalms relating to the story of the life of ancient Israel. From the time of the kingship of David, through the reign of Solomon, the divided kingdom, the destruction of Jerusalem by Babylon, to the exile in Babylon, and finally the return from exile to rebuild Jerusalem. These five enthronement psalms, of which Psalm 96 is one, relate to the exile in Babylon. King David was no more. A foreign king reigned as sovereign. What did that mean for the exiled Israelites? Would they simply be absorbed into the vast Babylonian empire? Or could they find a way to maintain their identity as the people of Yahweh, their God? And recalling the words of 1 Samuel 8, "They have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them." In these circumstances, it seems that the only possible option was to accept God as king. No human could completely fill that role. Without a human king to guarantee protection, livelihood, prosperity, and justice for the people of Israel, how would such care be provided? And as I draw to a close, we've been looking at two aspects here this morning, a new song and a new era in the historical context of the Israelites. We could ask the same questions of ourselves. without a king, to guarantee protection, livelihood, prosperity, and justice. How would such care be provided? As in the Old Testament, where the Israelites repeatedly turned away from God, we in this present age need to turn to God, to acknowledge him as our Savior, Redeemer, God as sovereign in our lives. God loves for his people to sing praises to him, a new song in a new era. He loves to receive the rejoicing and praise of his people. He has done amazing things for us, so it is right that we bring praise and thanksgiving to our Lord, our King. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Let us sing that new song together. Amen.